Well, good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing? Hey, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Tyler Jagan. I'm the lead pastor here at River Run. And this whole month, we have been focusing on the family. And the reason why we're focusing on the family is because, like we've been talking about, is that the first and most influential organization in human history, in the world, is the family. And I've talked about how studies after studies after studies after studies after studies show how incredibly unique and impactful and influential this organization that we're a part of called the family is in our lives. And we all know that. I mean, we've all experienced the way that our family has influenced us and our families have experienced our influence into their lives. So we're kind of asking this question. What if we were people who desired to have a legacy, to have a real deep impact in this world and want to have just incredible influence? Wouldn't we want to spend our time in that place where we would have the greatest influence? And the greatest influence that we have is our family. So we've been really kind of focusing on that. And the first week, we kind of started off just to kind of lay the foundation. This is so important. It's just worth repeating again. That, you know, what the best, your best influence in your family is God's influence in you. Your best influence in your family is God's influence in your life. Okay? So before we even kind of think about how can I influence my family, we should be asking God, God, please influence me. Open my hands, you know, so that way I can receive from you, to gather from you your wisdom of incredibly wise, sovereign Father, and also fill me with your love to strengthen me in order to be able to give a strong sense of wisdom and love to those people who are in this organization with me called my family. And one thing about this is it's really important to understand as well, as this is what we're going to talk about today, is that all of this isn't just something that you hear in a message for about, you know, 30 minutes or so. These are things that in order for God to influence us and for us to influence our family, it really takes intentionality, to be intentional. God's influence in your life and the life of your family takes intentionality. Now, we all know that in the places of our lives that we want to grow in, that we want to have an impact in, we know it takes intentionality. In fact, you think about it, think about your career, and think about all the education that you've had since VBK, kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school, maybe perhaps college or trade school or graduate school or whatever. A lot of intentionality went into that for your career. And think about all the intentionality that's gone into us being really proficient at extracurricular activities like music and dance and athletics and all of these things. It took intentionality. But what if the family is the most influential group that I'm part of? If it's so important that, you know, that's where I have the greatest influence, the question is how's my intentionality with that? Am I equally intentional into the relational lives with my family? And am I equally intentional in their lives to help them to experience the love of Christ that I've experienced as much as my career, as my education, as my hobbies? Now, those things are important, and they do have influence and impact, but our families have the greatest influence. That's why this is kind of weird, right? We spend all this time doing those things, but we really don't do any preparation until we kind of like, oh, I'm getting married. Okay, well, maybe I should take a course on this, you know? Or we get a kid and like find out that you're pregnant. It's like, oh, well, maybe I should read a book or something about this. And these are like the most influential relationships that we have. And so it takes intentionality, just as much as intentionality of anything else in our lives, to have that kind of influence into the lives of our family. Now, a few weeks ago, I mentioned to you a speech that basically Moses gave. It was like his last speech before he died. It's recorded in Scripture. It's called Deuteronomy. And in that, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he kind of starts off with the people of Israel, and he kind of says, hey guys, here's the thing. This is really important as he kind of starts his talk off. He says, this is very important. Number one, you got to put God number one. God needs to be number one. The Lord your God is one, all right? He's number one. And second of all, it's so important to build that relationship, to love him, and to sit at his feet, to let him love you and bless you, and trust him by which you obey his commandments. And then he says, now teach all of this to your kids all the time. And do it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And when you go back and you read through that, you see that what Moses was basically saying to the people of Israel is you got to be really intentional. You got to be intentional about your relationship with God, and you got to be intentional about your relationship with your family and to the next generation. Now we kind of looked over that, but a little bit later on in this same talk of his, it's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 11, you almost hear him say the exact same words. So Deuteronomy chapter 11 says this, beginning here in verse 18. He says to them, he said all that stuff in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and then Deuteronomy chapter 11, he says it again. So, after all the things I've said, so commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. That is verbiage that is really soaked in intentionality, isn't it? You know, commit yourselves, be intentional and be wholeheartedly, but to take these words of mine and do them and obey them, tie them, you know, be intentional about tying them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Why do you need to be reminded of something? Because you forget. I forget. That's why we take communion, you know? Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Why do we need to do something in remembrance of Jesus? Because we forget. We get distracted. Moses is basically saying, hey, you got to be intentional about these things. Because if you're not intentional, what's going to happen is you're going to drift. In fact, all throughout what you see through this speech that Moses gives, and particularly towards the end, he basically says, this is what's going to happen. I can say this, and it blew in my face over and over and over and over again, but it's really going to be about your intentionality. And Moses really recognized over 3,000 years ago, the human condition, that we are prone to alignment issues. You know, so God says, hey, this is how you to live your life. This is how I want you to connect with each other. This is how I want you to connect with me. And when we get distracted and we're not focused in on the Lord, we just kind of go whoop to the left, whoop to the right. We have alignment issues. And Moses understood this. At the moment that you lose focus is the moment that you're going to begin to see your lives be misaligned. Your lives are going to be misaligned, and your influence that you have in the life of your family is going to be misaligned, and then slowly your whole society is going to be misaligned. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. Now, can that happen to our own culture? You bet it can. Absolutely. So he says, so that's important. So make sure that you're intentional. Commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. And then he says, that's where it starts off. Our intentionality with God, you know, God having his influence in our lives. And then verse 19, then he goes on and he says this. Now, teach them to your children, all right? So take them, be intentional about them, and now be intentional about teaching these things to the next generation, to your kids. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. That is being intentional, right? And so Moses is basically saying, like, I get it, right? Like this is so intentional, it almost seems exhausting. But I believe what he's really saying to us is that when we are not intentional, we will drift. And if we drift, our kids will drift if we're not intentional. And for those of us who have drifted because maybe we didn't have, you know, somebody in our lives, a parent, grandparent in our lives to help us along, and now you're new to this walk in Christ, guess what? You get to be the person who goes, okay, I'm going to realign my life and be intentional about my life with the Lord so that way the next generation I can be intentional about helping them to experience the grace and the love of Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we're to be intentional with our own kids to the next generation. And so in verse 20, it goes on in 21, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, right? Intentionality. So that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land of the Lord that the Lord swore to give your ancestors. So what he's saying here is, guys, when you align to the Lord, you will be blessed. If you align your life and you're intentional about that, the next generation will be blessed. Because what will happen is that, you know, God kind of created us to look at our you know, that generation before us as models, the role models to us. And when they see that we're, you know, they see the intentionality of our relationship with the Lord, they're going to want to understand, why are we so intentional, Lord? Why is it so important to us? And they're going to begin to become intentional about their own relationship with the Lord. And he says that when you do that, you are blessed. But not only that, but what you're going to see is the next generation is going to be blessed. They're going to flourish in that. And so Moses goes on in verse 22, and he says this: so be careful to obey all these commands I'm giving you. Show love to the Lord your God by walking his ways and holding tightly to him. So Moses is basically saying to the Israelites, guys, here's the thing. I'm about to go. I've been with you for 40 years, all right? Most of you don't even know any other leader except for me, basically. Been with you for a long time. So let me just hammer it in your head. Be intentional about your relationship with the Lord. Be intentional about you know, telling the next generation about your relationship with the Lord. Teach them these things. Write them down for you, because you're going to need remembering, because we forget. And if we forget, how much, so much so, our kids are going to not, they're going to be lost and they're going to get distracted. So be intentional about these things. So be careful to obey all these commands I'm giving you. Show love to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and holding tightly to him. Let him work on, be intentional with, leaning into him, learning from him, the wisdom that comes from a sovereign father who loves you, and hold tightly to him in relationship with him. Moses was not, you know, he was also a guy who wrote Psalms as well, which are kind of like hymns. In Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses said this. He said, teach us, O Lord, to realize the brevity of this life, and that we, so that we may grow in wisdom. Moses has been dead now for over 3,000 years ago, you know? And so basically from his own past experience, his own experience, and speaking to this hymn, and it is him reverberating into the world over the last 3,000 years, it's his encouragement to us that, you know, teach us, O Lord, the brevity of this life so that we may gain wisdom. Help us to see how short this world is so we can be intentional on being wise, and we can be intentional about our influence, because this is, because it goes by so quickly for us. The writer of Proverbs, verse 20, or chapter 22, verse 6, says this: direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not lead it. There's intentionality right there. It takes intentionality to direct our children, right? In order to direct our children on the right path means that we need to be on the right path. We need to be in alignment with God. So we need to be intentional about our own lives in order to help our kids to be intentional about their own lives to continue to follow God. And one of the things I love about this proverb here is this Proverbs was written by a dad to his kids. And so here you have a proverb where he's writing to his son about his kids. So this is grandpa. It's grandpa saying, hey, you know what? As a grandfather here, son, this is what you got to do. You know, you need to lean into the Lord, be intentional about your relationship with the Lord, and then continue to direct your children into the grace and love and wisdom of a God who loves your kids so much that he's willing to spill his own blood for their own salvation. Direct their paths in the reality of the grace and salvation of Jesus Christ, so that when they get older, they will not leave it. So we are intentional about our dependency on God, our intentionality on our learning from God, our dependency and intentionality of receiving his love and abiding in that love and continuing to encourage our kids. Man, there's not going to be anybody who's going to love you more than Jesus Christ in this world. He loves you unconditionally. There's nobody wiser that you will ever meet than the wisdom of God. Follow him. Follow him, follow him, follow him. Because, you know, as a parent, we all desire for our kids to experience flourishment in their lives. And the flourishment in their lives is them experiencing the love of Jesus Christ. Now, we can't make them do that, right? We know that. We can't make our kids. It's like the secret that we finally kind of get as adults. Like, golly, we really can't make our kids do a whole lot, right? You know, but we can love them. We can grow in wisdom. And we can give them and keep pouring into them what we have received in Jesus Christ. So we keep possessing the wisdom and love of God, and we keep giving it to them. And we keep praying for them so that way they may be able to, you know, come to a place in their life where they choose to live a life of intentionality in their own relationship with the Lord. So in the last little piece here, what I want to do is I want to get real practical here. I want to give you some practical tools and some practical things and opportunities for you to grow in your relationship with God and for God to have a really deep influence into your life. And then I'm going to kind of give you some tools by which I believe that if you are intentional with these things, will have a great impact into the lives of the relationships in your family. So first of all, you know, a lot of these things, you know, ways to be intentional about God having influence in your life, probably the easiest way to do it is just the Bible. You know, Caleb Ive, which is our teaching elder here at River Run, he's also director of Emmaus Biblical Ministries. He quotes a stat that I've seen before as well, is that biblical engagement is a catalyst for our spiritual growth. It is a catalyst for growth. Now, well, I'm not talking about just opening up the Bible and just getting a bunch of information, but I'm talking about opening up, you know, this gift that God has given us, his word, and reading it and praying through it and communing with him. It changes our lives. Now, you may sit there and look at the book like this and go, man, that is really heavy and that's really daunting. All right? So here's the thing. One of the things that is really simple that maybe you've never downloaded it before and maybe might be able to really help you is the Bible app. It is, I believe, the most downloaded app in the world. It's an amazing app. It has the Bible on there. It has different versions. It has a ton of versions. It's almost like it almost confuses you. We use the NLT. People love the ESV as well. Any of those two? Fantastic. But one of the things that I love about this app is there are a lot of reading plans. There's a ton of reading plans in there. Some of them are just kind of almost kind of confusing. If you need a little help and guidance, ask people in your small group. Come and ask me. Ask anybody around here. I think a lot of people probably use a lot of these different plans. The Bible Project is a real big favorite of a lot of people as well. And but here's the thing. This is what I learned back when I think it was in college, when I started just kind of really wanting to read the Bible. I was like you. It's like, how in the world? This thing is so big. It's so massive. But I learned the lesson of intentionality. You got to start somewhere, even if it's just starting and doing it. And that intentionality in my life has made such a big impact in my own life. And I know there's a lot of people in here that love God's word, and God's word has changed their lives. And it all began with a step and a decision to be intentional about Scripture. And so the other thing about this as well is get involved in a small group. One of the things, we're launching small groups, so you know you can open up your worship guide right now, that QR code in front of you, and there's a just logo just like that where you can fill out a form and get connected to a small group. Because it's also the way that we learn and we grow. It's being around other people, other faulty people just like our own who need the grace of God, who are looking for wisdom for the Lord, and looking around to be around like-minded people who just want to get to know God better and to grow in the relationship with God and the understanding of him. It's what we do in small groups. This is a wonderful opportunity here to come and worship and maybe hear a message, but we grow a lot in conversation and sharing life and taking these things that we're living and practicing them into our life and then coming together in our small group and talking about how those things are going. So get plugged in to a small group. Another thing is that we've been talking about as well, you hear us talk about Emmaus. Emmaus is a wonderful place. As small groups is like you're diving deeper into relationship with Christ in the middle of that relationship. Well, Emmaus is like diving deeper into understanding Scripture. In fact, tomorrow they're starting a new series on Monday nights from 6:30 to 8:30. At RTS, which is just in Oviedo. It's not too far from here. And they're starting a 10-week series on Monday nights on the Old Testament. Okay, it is amazing. I've talked to so many people where this course has changed their lives. It's changed their life because it's helped them to understand the Old Testament and New Testament a whole lot better. But not only that, but in doing so, it's helped them to understand their God better, by which has inspired them to want to know him even more. That is, there's a link right there in the worship guide as well. You go through that, you sign up for that course, make sure you put in the code partner, because we're a partner with them, and you get $25 off on that course starting tomorrow night. I can't tell you how much of a big blessing that is to so many people. The other thing as well is what we do around here is we do what we call running partners. Running partners is like a mentorship, where it's just like a one-on-one or a one-on-two, where what we do is we just go through just sharing life, praying for each other, challenging each other to keep being faithful to the Lord, keep being intentional, and we also kind of go through this little book here. It's nothing fancy, by which through that, the desire of that is at the end of it, that when we are done, we can go then be intentional in a relationship with somebody else. Take them through just the basics of the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a verse that we go through that, and it's Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. Wouldn't you love to know just the simplicity of how what God did in human history of becoming man, dying on the cross, and raising from the dead, and how that intersects and connects to every issue, every problem that any of us ever go through, and be able to have kind of that foundation by which you can have just an organic, you know, sitting at the dock, sitting in the lobby, sitting somewhere with somebody anywhere, and to be able to have a spiritual conversation with them that is encouraging and helpful to a weary soul that finds its foundation just with on Scripture. So we do that as well, and so those are ways. We don't do a whole lot here at River Run, so this is important. Sometimes people will say, why don't we do more programs here? Why don't we do more programs? We have a little bit of method to our madness, because this is what I believe. Did you know in the first century, guess what? In the first century, they only had one program, okay? They only had one program, and they leveraged the junk out of it, and they conquered the Roman Empire, and the gospel spread throughout the world. Do you know what that one program was that they leveraged to have intimacy with God, to know God, and to do life with other people? Do you know what that one program is? It was their life. It was their life. Sometimes what we do is we take programs at church and we think, man, if I just kind of get these things and then all of a sudden I will be perfect and I will execute a perfect life. No. In fact, one of the things that we miss out on is how beautiful life is, that God leverages that if we allow him to learn from him, to grow, you know, in our influence, in our understanding of him. It's why he gives us, you know, gives us family. That's why he gives us challenges with other people at work. All of these things are not new nuisances. They are opportunities for our own spiritual growth. I always think about it like this. You know, if you go to Emmaus or you come here or something like that, I say, this is like the classroom. But you know what? You're really going to grow when you take these tools and you put them into practice and kind of see what God does with them. In your family, in your life, everywhere you go, you leverage your life to really know God and learn from him and take these tools to do that, that's where you really grow. So much of that. So highly encourage you to take these things, but leverage your life to really allow God to have influence. I had a guy come and talk to me one time, and he said, hey, you know what? I feel like churches, it doesn't feel like the messages are really deep. You know, he'd been in church for a long time, gave his life to Christ and that, and he said, you know, the messages don't feel deep. And so I saw him and I said, okay, T, here's two things that I want you to do. Number one, when you hear a message that you've always heard before, you just need to ask the question. And it's a very deep question. Number one, I've heard that message before. I know that is true. But what's the reality of that truth in my life? What's the gap between God's truth and my life? That's deep and profound. Lord, am I living this to the perfection that brings you honor and glory and flourishment in my life? No. So where am I? All right, let's bridge the gap. Man, you know, that's powerful. The second thing is I was telling him, because he had a pretty stressful job, was, hey, You know what? Every single day you're walking into a stressful environment. How much do you, because this is deep as well, how much of your work do you use to know God and allow God to use the challenges of your work to help you to grow? That's pretty deep. Man, changes our lives when we do that, okay? So, what are some things to have influence into the lives of our family? And first of all, kind of the easy thing to do, just is being intentional. If you have young kids, little kids, things like that, the easiest thing to do is just read the Bible to your kids. You know, sometimes there's so many Bibles out there and there's bunches of them and all that sort of stuff, and it gets a little confusing. And it doesn't really matter. Again, number one step is be intentional. The best thing you do is get into bed with your little son or your little daughter or your grandchildren or whomever, and you just start reading the Bible to them. It's not hard. It's not difficult. In fact, it's bonding. It's wonderful. It's beautiful to kind of spend that time with them. Just start reading the Bible with them. It's a very simple thing to do. And the other thing as well is what we have here with River Run is we tied into our kids' curriculum is this incredible little app called the Parent Queue. And this Parent Queue is pretty neat because here it says Mabel, she's my second grader. It says I have 673 weeks until Mabel moves on to what's next. I have 673 weeks in order to invest in her. And I'm reading that and I go, man, I got a long time. Until I think about my oldest son, who I have less than 1 year. Less than, you know, 1 year with him. And he's graduating high school. And so we used to do Parent Q with my older kids a long time ago when there were hundreds of weeks left. And now, boom, it's over. And so this is a wonderful little tool to be able to, you know, it makes things very easy because I know I'm just like you. How do you, in seminary, they didn't tell me how to have a spiritual conversation with a 3-year-old or with a 5-year-old. I'm like, I'm with you. And they're like, how in the world do I do this? But this is a wonderful little tool that every single Sunday they update it. They update it with a little video. And everything in that video coincides to what our kids are learning right now in River Kids. The same thing. So if you sit down and you have a conversation with them and watch that video with them, then you know exactly what they were learning this morning, which gives you the opportunity just to ask them some really neat, easy questions. And the video is really funny too. I really like it. They also have just some devotionals in there as well. Mabel this week was doing one of the devotionals and I came home and writing on our glass mirror in our bedroom, bathroom was Psalm 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And so the devotion said, write that down somewhere where you can see it in a mirror. And so anyways, very simple. Didn't really take a whole lot for us to really do it. We're just already leveraging some other tools with that. And it's called the Parent Queue. It's very simple. The other thing too is this little piece here. This is like running partners for our kids. And this little tool right here. In fact, my daughter Mabel has been talking about baptism. And so we're having some conversations. And so over the next 6 weeks or so, let me come back to that. But let's go to this real quick. This next one right here. Go ahead to that one, Kate. Yep. So this next 6 weeks, I'm just going to sit down with Mabel. We're going to have a fun time. We're going to go to wherever she wants to go. She wants to go have a donut. We're going to go have a donut together. And we're going to start walking through this to help her to really understand the beautiful reality of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for her as a second grader. So we're going to walk through that. So that way she can know that she knows about God and what it really means. And we can have a wonderful time every single week just sitting down together, having some just, you know, some cool time together and also just talking about God as well. Now go back to Parent Night. So you heard earlier Tina talk about Parent Night on September 20th. This is a wonderful opportunity for parents to be able to come here and listen all about, just to get some tools on how to connect more deeply into the lives of your student. Parents of teens, highly encourage you. Parents with preteens, here's the thing. I'm a real big on this, is that I always believe it's better to prepare before you get there. It's always better to prepare before you get there. So if you have kids in older elementary school, why wait until they get to middle school? Why not get ahead of the game and go to this as well and to learn from what Pastor Brian has to say about how we can connect better to our students? And then earlier I mentioned running partners. Guess what? You know what? I take my older kids through this as well. There's been a couple of times when we've gotten together, and like right now, I'm taking my daughter through this, and she's a sophomore in high school, and every week, every Friday, we go over to Starbucks. We have quality time together. We walk through this together. It's not rocket science. It's not super hard, and we have wonderful time just catching up on what's going on in each other's lives, and also just kind of learning and allow her to kind of give me questions and ask me questions. I did this with Calvin as well, and I'm sure when Mabel gets older as well, I'll be doing this too. So that's another thing that we do. Other things as well is Emmaus. I've taken my older kids through Emmaus as well, my high school students. Guys, they're in biology, they take chemistry, they take algebra, they're taking pre-cal. They can do this course. I think for some reason, sometimes we kind of like think, well, this is probably gonna be a little too intense for our kids. No, it's not. Take them to these things. And again, do it with them. Because if you do it with them, then you can have great conversations in the car with them. And that doesn't mean that you have to know more than them. You can be learning with them. And as you're learning with them, you can just continue to just have conversations. So what'd you think? Hey, you know, this is kind of what I was thinking. This is kind of what I was going to, what it felt like Lord was saying to me and encouraged me. That's another just a great opportunity as well. Sometimes we just kind of see things as like adult ministry things and stuff like that. And so the kids can just go do whatever. Instead of leveraging some of the things that we are learning ourselves and just taking our kids along for the ride. And then we have just and then another way of helping and encouraging people here is serving. Serving in River Kids, serving in student ministry. I can't tell you what another big impact that I've seen in so many people's lives who are serving back in with River Kids and are serving our students. These are parents just like you and me who just took the intentionality. I don't know whether I do kids. I don't know whether I do students. I don't know if that's really for me. But parents who stepped into those things for the reason to learn how to be more intentional in spiritual conversations with their families. I can't tell you how many families that we have who also serve together back there. Adults and kids in the same family. The Delgados have been doing it forever. And I can't tell you what an incredible impact that it's had on their family and on their kids who started off in River Kids, who grew up, who began to volunteer in that, and now are just continuing to serve your kids and see their lives change through that. And they're bonding together as a family. It takes intentionality with that. And then lastly, just one more thing, your story. Continue to be intentional about your story. I was so excited last week when I heard so many people coming up to me and said, you know what, I'm going to write my story for my kids and my grandkids. They need to hear my story. They need to know why I follow Jesus, why I love Jesus. Remind us of the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Remind me that this world is going by so fast. So let me, until I have breath, let me have the intentionality to be able to share my story, share my life, continue to love and serve even those in my family who are bending to the left and bending to the right. And let me just continue to be an encouragement and a light into their lives so that way, hopefully, when they come to a place and they recognize that maybe God isn't so dangerous, maybe God isn't someone who's just going to make my life miserable, maybe God really does want me to flourish, maybe God really does care about me, they have you and your influence to continue to love them and to serve them through that. It's all about intentionality. So Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to realize the brevity of life, so that we may grow in wisdom. That was 3,000 years ago. Moses had his time, and he was intentional with it. And guess what, guys? This is our time, and it's our time to be intentional as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the fact that you are an intentional God. You could have just easily left us just to kind of wander around and try to figure this all out on ourselves. And when we do that, we just get more and more lost. But it was in your intentionality, through your plan from the beginning of time, that this is all the things that you said would do. You did them, and you continue to do them. You're intentional about your work in the life of the Israelites. You're intentional about the prophets. You're intentional about coming into this world and sacrificing your life for us. You're intentional about the resurrection of the dead. You're intentional about wanting to transform our lives. You're intentional about wanting us to grow deeper in our relationship with you. And you are intentional, and you will be intentional, about coming back again so we can have eternal life with you forever. So, Father, let us be people who mirror that intentionality. Let us be people who are intentional. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.